It's half past three, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I am Nick Schwartz, Rock Chalk Sports Talk till 6 o'clock tonight. Big news, big bombshell dropping on the college basketball world earlier today. And no, I am not talking about the fact that Lil Yachty will be performing at Late Night in the Fog on Saturday as we welcome on Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World. Matt, what can you tell me about Lil Yachty? Have you been following his career?
I have. I can tell you this much. He was initially, this is a little known fact, but he was initially going to go by the name of Lil Tugboat. And I told him just flat out, like, that doesn't sound cool enough, man.
Oh, you told him that.
There's not enough swag with that. So I think I like the boat. I like the maritime thing that you're going for there, but mm-hmm. I think you need to think bigger. And so he emailed me. You know, he's still a big email guy. I don't really think he texts.
Really? Okay.
So he emailed me a couple of other things, and, you know, a little speedboat. It was just incremental. He kept getting there there and getting there. And then at the end of the day, he ended up sending me an email. I don't know how long ago this was. It's been a number of years. But he sent me something that said, how about Lil Yacht? And I said, you've got something there. If you add a Y to the end of that, you're golden. And the rest is history. Now he's a legend.
Lil Naval Vessel. Was that amongst the list of names that didn't make the cut?
Yeah, because it's funny you say that, because one of his favorite games is Battleship.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
He was like, yeah, he went through the whole thing.
Wow, you know a lot about this guy. You seem to be pretty close with him.
Aircraft carrier, like a lot of stuff was happening there. So
I didn't know you were so plugged in to the rap scene. Not only are you all over college basketball, but also in the hip-hop game.
Well, you got to do it. They're one and the same these days, really, if you think about it. And now I'm excited to not only get late night started and kick off the season and all that, but, you know, have a little reunion with an old friend of mine.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to you, seeing your buddy back
Thank
in town.
You. Thank you very
It'll be
much.
A big performance for Lil Yachty on Saturday. I want to talk to you about some KU basketball, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this bombshell that got dropped earlier today. 10 people, I guess, connected to college basketball being arrested or being having charges brought about them, including four assistant coaches at Auburn, Oklahoma State, Arizona, and USC. The FBI looking into essentially this dark underbelly of college basketball. I mean, I don't want to, like I've said, I don't want to be hyperbolic with this, but this seems like about as big as it could possibly get when it comes to a scandal in college basketball.
Well, it is, and we're just at the beginning. I mean, everybody's calling it the tip of the iceberg. I don't like the cliche there, but it's true. I think that if this thing kind of moves forward at the rate that it's going right now and kind of continues to gain some momentum and some steam and just builds and builds and builds, it'll become something unlike anything we've ever seen, probably. And the potential is certainly there, you would think. I don't know a great number of details. Obviously don't cover the entire country, but as you mentioned, dark underbelly is a perfect way to describe it. I mean, these types of things are sort of commonly known, right? I mean, everybody talks about them. Everybody kind of knows, but nobody really confronts it or addresses it right out front. It's just kind of one of those things, the way it goes. And evidently the federal government has had enough of that being the way it goes and decided to get involved. I thought by far the most incredible thing about the whole deal was the fact that the NCAA found out when we found out, you know, and this was a really deep, deep undercover type of investigation that has involved FBI agents actually going undercover and posing as agents and gathering information and things like that. To have them doing that without the NCAA's knowledge or involvement or even, you know, I don't know that approval is necessary, but just knowledge is probably the way to say that, is quite remarkable. It says a lot about the investigation and just how serious it is or could be. It says a lot about the NCAA I can tell you this much. If the FBI were investigating the Lawrence Journal-World, or somebody hear or the actions of any employees of the Journal World, I can guarantee they would go to ownership and talk about it first and say, hey, here's what we're trying to figure out. Here's what we need to know. Here's how you can help us. The fact that they didn't do that with the NCAA is incredible. Maybe they didn't need to. Maybe they didn't want to. Maybe it's
that
not
sounds
necessary.
Like more of a they didn't want to, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think so because
the NCAA is going to play dumb, right? Like Mark Emmert already issued a statement saying, "Oh, we condemn these actions, zero tolerance policy." Like to me, that read as a guy who's playing dumb and acting like, "Oh, we didn't know any of this was going on."
Absolutely, and let's be honest, if they had gone to the NCAA and said, hey, can you help us with this? The odds are the NCAA may have decided, hey, no, let's help our member institutions first. Let's call some coaches, let's call some athletic directors, let's call some presidents and make sure that these people know that they're sniffing around, and if you got anything to hide, you better get blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, that probably was the reason they didn't call the NCAA in the first place, for fear that that's the direction they would have gone. We'll never know. And I know that's kind of a brutal accusation to make, but there's been enough that's kind of proven
well,
that.
Well, no, it's
time,
not. I don't think it is brutal because when we see these like individual investigations, whether it was with North Carolina or Louisville with the stripper parties or Syracuse and all these different programs that have had NCAA investigations. I think the NCAA is okay with that because that's them flexing their power and saying, look, you break the rules, we're going to punish you for it. But what's going on right now is the FBI essentially saying that to the NCAA, you guys are useless because you guys want to flex your power and punish this rule breaker and this rule breaker. But guess what? We just found out that pretty much everyone is breaking your rules, which in turn kind of makes the NCAA look a little useless, doesn't it? I mean, I think
absolutely.
This is terrible for them.
Yeah, well, and I think that's exactly right. I think that's why it wasn't even a didn't want to, it was just didn't need to. We know what we're going to get if we call you. We're the freaking FBI, and we know what's going to happen if we call you and ask for your help. We may not get it. So we're going to go around and figure out a way to do our investigation on our own, and hey, we'll let you know when it all hits the fan. So today was that day, and at least for a number of schools, and obviously Adidas is right there, and that's big in itself. I mean, this is the scope of this whole thing is remarkable. And I don't know that this is something that we'll be just talking about for a couple of days and then back to business. I mean, I think this thing is a months long kind of just drawn out thing where new information comes out, new information is pursued, leads are followed, people turn on each other, spill the beans here, spill the beans there. I mean, who knows what this could be? And I've seen plenty of tweets from plenty of people who have said, you know, that at the end of the day, when this is all settled, it could change everything about college basketball as we know it. And I don't think that's dramatic. I don't think they're just trying to get attention by saying something on that level. I think that's absolutely true and potentially could be the result of this. Whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, who knows? But it's definitely a wild, wild story and you know, just now getting off the ground. So incredible. I mean, it's incredible. I thought the best tweet that I saw was from Seth Davis. That you know, he said, for those of you who are fans or associated with schools who were not named today, don't spend too long reveling in that, what's that word, Schadenfreude or
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, there you go. You know, don't spend too long in that world because it could be your school any day. And I think that's very true. And I think everybody should just kind of sit back and hold your breath and see what happens and try not to, you know, typically schools like to poke fun at each other and point fingers and say, ha ha, you did this, you did that. Well, yeah, I don't think anybody should be doing that in this case because this thing could run pretty deep from coast to coast. So we got to sit back and see what happens, but it'll be interesting. I do know this. I've been trying to figure out some way to work this story all day from the moment I woke up, really. I do know that the federal government has not in any way, shape, or form reached out to KU. to contact KU or anything like that. So that's probably something that bodes well for the university at this point, at least the local university and the fans of Kansas and Kansas basketball. So that was as of a couple, maybe even less than an hour ago. I was told that they have not heard a single word from the federal government. So if you're rooting in this deal, then that's probably a good sign for KU. And like I said, we just all have to sit back and kind of see where it goes from here.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I mean, what's interesting to me is we constantly have this conversation of whether or not college basketball, college football players at big-time institutions deserve to be paid beyond what their scholarship is. It's a conversation we've been having for a long time, and we all kind of knew, well, there's more benefits they're getting than what is necessarily on the table in many, many cases, in most cases.
Right.
And we hear about this kid, Brian Bowen, for Louisville, who they essentially caught on tape an assistant coach agreeing to give this kid, what was it, $100,000 to an All-American high school basketball player who committed in June to an Adidas school. Well, there's only one All-American basketball player who committed to an Adidas school in June. That's Brian Bowen. $100,000 for this kid who, at least until a couple of minutes ago, I had never even heard of. And it just makes you wonder, or maybe even take it a step further, makes you realize exactly how deep this goes across the board. Because we have this conversation of whether or not they get paid. I wonder how much universities or programs or players really care about it, because they know the benefits that they may be getting under the table are more than what they would legally be able to get if the NCAA did decide to completely revamp the system.
Yeah, well, certainly at that level. I mean, I think, you know, when you're talking about baseball players or women's sports or whatever, when you're talking about paying players, there's a great deal of benefit that those, you know, minor sports, for lack of a better word, could get, obviously. But yeah, if you're talking about major college basketball or football, I think you're right on the money there. If the going rate for a kid like that is $100,000, wow. You know, imagine what someone like LeBron James could have got to go to school. And you know, he got plenty. I think he's doing fine. But you know, everybody around here jumped at there's the Adidas connection, and then you automatically think about Kansas, and then you go Andrew Wiggins because he's one of the biggest faces of Adidas right now. You know, I understand the connection. I get why people immediately went there and freaked out a little bit about that. But to your point, I don't think that this is the Andrew Wiggins of the world. I mean, that was a guy who was a mega star before he ever committed anywhere. And everyone knew he was going to be a one-year guy. And everyone knew as soon as he did his 9 months' time of college athletics and being an amateur athlete, so to speak, that he was going to sign a major deal with one of the big dogs. And so, you know, I don't think it's those guys necessarily that are the ones you are looking at or needing to look at. I do think it's the Brian Bowens of the world. And you know, I don't want to disrespect the kid. Maybe he's going to become the next big thing. But as you said, you hadn't heard of him. So, you know, you had heard of Andrew Wiggins, I'm sure. And maybe part of that's the Kansas connection to recruiting him. But either way, I think it does open your eyes a little bit to, wow, if a guy like that is $100,000 price, then – you know, does it trickle down from there? Does it go up from there? I mean, there's just so much craziness associated with this. And that's why it's so dangerous to talk about, because nobody knows. I mean, you can't possibly know, because at least in the large majority of cases, it's not documented, it's not talked about. And you know, now we've got a few cases because of this undercover operation and investigation. Now we do know a few details. So, yeah, if it continues to spill and grow from there, wow, we could learn a lot about a lot of guys in a hurry.
And I know a lot of people's first reaction today is, okay, well, these guys are getting paid anyway, so why don't we just revamp the system and make it legal for them to get paid? Are you convinced that would fix these sorts of problems? Because I think corruption is going to be there regardless. If you want to pay guys, okay, the NCAA makes it legal to pay guys. Well, what's to say then another school is not still going to give that kid an extra sum of money under the table just to secure his commitment? Like, how do you fix it?
Well, right, and there's no addressing the idea of steering kids to certain schools. You know, that's great they all get paid, but what about the AAU coach who wants a little kickback to send his stud to a certain school? Or what about the assistant coach who's going to help a family out if that guy can deliver him or whatever? I mean, you know, that stuff doesn't go away if you just start paying athletes. I mean, that stuff's all still very much there. You're still going to have guys trying to funnel kids and put their stamp on where they're going to go. And sometimes it's for the right reasons. You know, that's the shame in all of this. There's a lot of guys who are involved with elite level athletes who are doing it for the right reasons and genuinely trying to help these kids make the best choices they can, go to the best school they can, both for their athletic career and for their academics. So this kind of thing really is a kick below the belt to those guys, because now it's just opening eyes to the whole corruption of everything, and you probably are going to look twice at everybody that's helping a kid at all, and that's a shame, because it takes away that opportunity to appreciate somebody who's just trying to do something to help a kid. I mean, if that's what you're doing, if you're genuinely just trying to help a kid make a good decision, all of a sudden now everybody's going to look at you differently. Everybody's still going to think, well, Yeah, you are, but you're probably getting something for it, you know, and that's too bad if that's not the case. So, again, I mean, this whole thing, the layers that this kind of devolves down to, it's not just a base level thing. It's not just a surface thing about kids making money, money in pockets of kids, athletes being paid. I mean, it trickles all the way down to people that I just mentioned and families and AAU programs and high schools and, God forbid, middle schools. I mean, it's just, you asked how you fix it. If I had an answer, I'd probably be paid handsomely to tell someone. But I don't know how you ever fix corruption. I don't know how you fix it in the government. I don't know how you fix it in athletics, in other realms of the business world. I mean, it's just, it seems like corruption is such that it kind of, you know, starts small and then just becomes this enormous thing that blows up, and before you know it, you've got a real mess on your hands, and you've gone way too far to the point where you maybe can't fix it.
Yeah, I think the answer is probably more simple than we think it is. I know that the question always becomes, all right, the system's broken, we got to fix it. Okay, well then, what's the solution? How do we figure out what to do with this? It's going to be so difficult. It's going to be so sticky, so hairy. There's a lot of people in that corporate office in Indianapolis who get paid, you know, 7-8-figure salaries. They get paid more than enough to try and figure out the solution to this problem. And maybe it's beyond the NCAA, right? Because the FBI was able to uncover information that, simply put, the NCAA never would have been able to do, right? Like,
right.
The NCAA wants to crack down on it. Well, the NCAA isn't wiretapping phones. The NCAA
right.
isn't bugging rooms for conversations. They don't have the power to do that, and they never will. And if you don't have the power to legislate your rules and what you have in place, then maybe you don't deserve to be in power anymore. And I know
I
that,
totally agree.
And I know that brings up a totally different discussion of, okay, then what? Then what do you do? I don't know the answer to that, but all I know is that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of large sum legal transactions that take place across this country and across this world every single day where people are paid for their value, they are paid their market value. And I think it may seem like, well, it's going to turn into the wild, wild west. So be it. Because if that's the worst thing, if you're scared of it turning into the wild, wild west, then I will ask you now, after this information has been brought to light today, what would you call what's happening in college basketball currently?
Excellent point. And I think that's exactly it. I mean, if you're looking to fix this, as you've said a couple of times, under the current landscape, under the current rules, with the current powers that be, I don't think there is a fix. But if you're interested in reforming it, then I think you got a chance. And you know, at the end of the day, it may be as simple, like you said, as simple as it is. Let's just call it what it is and get over this idea of amateur athletes and get over this idea of student athletes and get over this idea of college. This is a minor league system for the NBA. It is that way for players every year. You have so many guys declaring for the draft, so many more draft eligible players than there are draft spots. You have all this stuff that's just built on the next level, and the NBA is not interested in changing it at all, because with television contracts and college basketball being the huge deal that it is across the country, it's free marketing. They have to do absolutely nothing to promote and market and kind of introduce their next generation of stars to the world. I mean, it may have been a waste of Andrew Wiggins' time to come to Kansas for a year, but it was absolutely not a waste of the NBA's time for him to come here, because for 30-plus games, he was on national television. He had the exposure of one of the true elite blue blood programs in the country, week after week, night after night, year after year. I mean, that's what's happening. So there is no interest on that side of things to fix it, because it's such a good setup for the NBA. They have nothing to do with, you know, any kind of financial obligations or even logistical obligations. They just get to sit back and watch college athletes and college athletics run this thing, and then boom, they reap the benefits on the back end. So yeah, if you want to fix it, you may have to reform that. And you know, they've changed the D League. It's now the G League. The salaries are a little higher. They have two-way contracts that are more prevalent in the NBA. Maybe that's where you go. Maybe you just get over it and stop pretending that it's college athletes that are here to go to school, and start treating it like what it is, that these are kids, you know, playing in a minor league system. Let's not be negative about it. It's a damn good minor league system.
Absolutely.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you just legislate it and operate it the right way, it could be very, very beneficial to everybody involved, the kids included, the coaches included, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, do you go there overnight? You probably don't. That's a heck of a leap. And then obviously the question becomes, what about those kids that aren't good enough to play in the NBA? Well, you know, then there's still college athletics. There's still something there for them. But you know, it's not... simple and clean and nice, easy cuts. You've got to really commit to changing it and diving in and figuring out the best way to do it. And even if that's your solution, I think that's something. Just trying to find your way to that point is something that could take years.
Very well said, Matt Tate of the Lawrence Renner World and KUSports.com. Fun conversation, man. Glad you came on and had it with me. And
yeah, appreciate it. It's crazy stuff. I don't imagine it'll be the last time we talk about it.
No, I don't think so. And I don't imagine you're going to get a ton of sleep over the coming weeks and months and perhaps years. So enjoy covering this situation. We'll do it again soon, man.
Lots of sleepless years ahead. Well, for sure this weekend, because my boy Little Yachty's coming in.
Right.
So no sleep. No sleep till Brooklyn, right?
Oh, no, that's okay. Well, that's Beastie Boys, and now you're showing your age a little bit, but that's okay. You are still showing your hip-hop roots.
Somebody just told me to say that. I don't know. These old people, I can't handle it.
Thanks again, Matt.
All right, Nick. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, you too. That is Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN.